From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, May 22nd, 2025. Maine Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree and Congressman Jared Golden today voted against Republicans' massive spending bill. Both described it as an extreme proposal that will slash health coverage and food benefits for thousands of Mainers. Steve Missler has more.
The bill is the centerpiece of President Donald Trump's domestic agenda, but Golden and Pingree both framed it as a blueprint for a massive wealth transfer from the poorest Americans to the wealthiest. Both highlighted its provisions slashing Medicaid and enhanced tax credits for health insurance plans purchased on the Affordable Care Act exchange. More than 400,000 Mainers rely on Medicaid or MainCare for health insurance, and multiple analyses suggest 50,000 of them could lose it if the bill becomes law. Those cuts, as well as reductions in food assistance for low-income people, are being used to fund tax cuts. Pingree cited estimates from the Congressional Budget Office showing that the bottom 10% of Americans would lose 2% of their income through the loss of benefits, while the top 10% of earners would increase. Both also criticized how the bill will add trillions in federal debt, a problem that has already led credit agencies to downgrade the U.S. credit rating. The bill now moves to the Senate, where Republicans could pass it with a simple majority. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Advocates for low-income families in Maine are sounding the alarm about a federal proposal to cut the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP, by about $267 billion over the next 10 years. In Maine, 176,000 individuals rely on the program to purchase food. Amy Sacy of the Good Shepherd Food Bank says those living right above or below the poverty line are terrified.
People are already talking with us about, well, what if there's no SNAP, no pantries, and no LIHEAP next year, right? Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to feed my family next Thanksgiving, next Christmas?
Sacy says food pantries in Maine are already facing longer lines and depleted shelves because of previous federal cuts. In addition to slashing the SNAP program and Medicaid in order to provide tax breaks for the wealthiest Americans, congressional Republicans are proposing to shift the cost of the program to states. The Mount Ararat High School athletic director is resigning after an independent investigation found multiple violations of school policies, including bullying, hazing, and harassment by members of the boys' hockey team. Jeff Godot has served as athletic director since 2015. In a letter to school principal Chris Hoffman, Godot said he would step down on August 1st. The MSAD 75 school board will vote to accept Godot's resignation at tonight's meeting. More than 100 clean energy advocates gathered at the Maine State House in Augusta today, urging lawmakers to approve several bills relating to clean energy. Under consideration are bills aimed at reaching 90% clean energy by 2040, creating a cabinet-level Department of Energy, and creating new affordability standards for utilities. Sierra Pearl is an electrical apprentice.
I just want people to know that if you protect clean energy jobs, you're protecting jobs for Mainers, and you're protecting our work, but not just union work, but work for everybody, and not just now, but into the future as well.
Pearl says clean energy work is drying up amid the Trump administration's hostility toward renewable energy. A late-season nor'easter will bring steady rain and high winds of up to 45 miles an hour to Maine tonight and tomorrow morning. Steady rain will arrive later tonight. High winds will die down tomorrow morning. Rain will change to snow in the mountains. Meteorologist Derek Schroeder with the National Weather Service in Gray says flood risks are relatively low.
Good news is that the system is going to produce some storm surge, but the peak in the storm surge is going to occur closer to low tide.
Schroeder says nor'easters in late May are relatively rare, though a storm brought more than 30 inches of snow to the summit of Mount Washington in 2017. Saturday and Sunday may see chances of rain, but things will dry out and warm up Sunday into Monday. State police have identified the 4-year-old boy who died from a gunshot wound to the head at an apartment in Lewiston over the weekend. Police say the boy, who they identify as Jasper Smith, was shot with a single 9mm handgun that was at the apartment. The handgun is registered to 36-year-old Robert McCoy. Several family members were at the apartment when law enforcement and emergency personnel arrived at the scene early Saturday morning. Smith was taken to Central Maine Medical Center in Lewiston and was pronounced dead Saturday morning. No other details have been released, and police say the investigation is ongoing. According to the United Nations, gang violence in Haiti has displaced more than 1 million people. That's contributed to an estimated near doubling of the population in the country's second largest city. That, in turn, has placed a big strain on local healthcare, also hit by the loss of funding from the U.S. A small Maine-based nonprofit, which has operated for years in Haiti, is stepping up to help meet the growing need for health services. Amy Bracken reports from Cape Haïtien.
Fort Saint-Michel Hospital sits on a busy road near the edge of this city on Haiti's north coast. It's more than 1,000 miles from Maine, but Cap Haïtien and Portland are sister cities, and the ties are strong, at least within the healthcare community. By the maternity ward of this small public hospital is a door marked Combit Santé. It's Creole for something like working together for health. And it's the name of a Falmouth, Maine-based nonprofit that's operated in northern Haiti for 24 years.
8h30 travail, 10h30 travail, présent au bureau, les dossiers résultats.
It's late in March, and I've come to meet a nurse named Josem Clotilde Saint-Jean. She manages a maternal and child community health program started by Combit Santé 20 years ago. A large calendar on the wall reveals days packed with activities. But the last date shown is January 31st, because after that, its USAID funding disappeared.
I never imagined the project could end for lack of funds, because USAID was always committed, always in service to the community, to the people. So it's a shame to see them stopping in the year 2025. I have to say, sincerely, it hurts.
USAID's annual provision of $220,000 covered supplies and paid for more than 30 Haitian staff who have cared for women during and after their pregnancies, along with their infants, including administering vaccines.
If we can't continue, imagine how many children might die from dehydration and how many mothers won't get continuing health education to keep them safe.
One member of Saint-Jean's team, Daniel Fabien, has just returned from his work in the community. He's been with this program for more than a decade, and since funding ended, is working for free.
What we do in the community is protect and serve. When we learned funds were being cut, we were the first people to respond by working voluntarily to keep serving the community.
The USAID cuts came at a tough time. The population in this part of Haiti has exploded, and people are sicker. Malnutrition rates are up, along with violence-inflicted wounds, stress-related illness, and maladies long left untreated. The beleaguered Haitian government can do little to help. Down the road, in the heart of Cap Haïtien, is the stately Justinien Teaching Hospital. It's the largest functioning public hospital in Haiti, now that gangs have forced the closure of many healthcare facilities in other parts of the country.
Cap Haïtien has become a sanctuary for people fleeing gangs. And the main problem we have with displaced people is the first place they look to for refuge is the hospital.
Khalil Jouren is a longtime doctor at Justinien, and he became its director last winter.
They take shelter beside the treatment area, and those who arrive with medical needs, we are obliged, with the little means we have, to support them.
Dr. Turin says Combit Santé's support here is mostly for the pediatric department, but it has helped the hospital more broadly.
They've brought teams to resolve our problem of potable water. They've participated in construction. They have their own office in the hospital, and they're very active in the search for all materials to reinforce our service capacity.
An update since my visit in March. Combit Santé has continued to look for funds, with some success. Daniel Fabien is getting paid again, and the community health program has been partially restored, but with less than half the staff, and only for this year. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Amy Bracken.
And now to Convit Sante's executive director, Perry Newman, who joins us from Portland. We just heard in Amy Bracken's report about the loss of USAID funds in Cape Haitian. Nationwide, what has the effect of those cuts been?
So the loss of funding has been devastating across the global footprint of USAID, but it's been particularly hard hit, hard felt in Haiti because the infrastructure is so poor to begin with that any loss of critical funding is going to have that much more of an exponential impact.
So supporters of the cuts to USAID say that we should use our taxpayer dollars to support the needs of our own citizens. How would you respond to those who say it's not up to the U.S. to help people in Haiti?
Well, there are a variety of ways in which this is so critical. First, on a moral level, we have resources in our country. We have more than ample resources to do what is right, to do what is moral, and to help those who are in desperate condition. But even on a very practical level, this is a very small investment. It's a tiny percentage of the U.S. budget. It keeps people healthy. It produces a generation that will be healthier, safer, and less likely to impact the security considerations of the United States. If people are healthier in their own countries, it's going to keep them more contented and less likely to become refugees and thus burdening the American taxpayer further.
So we've also seen that publicity around these cuts can boost the public response and sometimes leads to more donations to nonprofits such as yours, at least in the short term. Has that helped in your fundraising recently?
It has. We've been the beneficiaries of some very, very dedicated donors to Convit Sante. The challenge, of course, is to keep this going. We've had this grant from USAID for close to 20 years, and people respond, thankfully, as they have, in a heartfelt fashion. But to sustain the impact and to sustain the funding is the real challenge, and we're hopeful that we can do that because on the ground, the need continues regardless of whether the USAID funding continues or not.
And given the landscape today, what are Convit Sante's priorities for supporting the public health situation in Haiti in the months and years ahead?
Well, we've been in Haiti for close to 25 years, and we work with four partner institutions. Our plans are to continue partnering with those institutions, and our operating philosophy, our DNA, if you like, is to listen to those institutions and our healthcare partners to determine what it is that they need, not what we think they need, what they need. So we intend to do that on an ongoing basis. We're very, very heavily focused on maternal and child health, pediatric care. And the way forward for us is to continue to strengthen the system so that there's less dependence upon outside help and a greater degree of Haitian solutions for Haitian challenges.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, first jobs. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.